Assalamu alaikum and thank you for logging on to the Farrakhan Speaks podcast. This week's podcast is taken from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's interview with Martin Bashir of ABC News Nightline, conducted March 6, 2007.
But it seems a long way from Fahd Muhammad, who is the founder of the Nation of Islam, who said that Christianity was the religion of slave owners and had been used to enslave black people.
Well, if you look at the history...
But isn't that what he said?
No, he didn't say that. I didn't hear him say. I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say that Christianity was an organized religion by white people for the subjugation of black people. So now when you look at Jesus Christ and you look at organized religion, there's a big difference between Jesus and organized religion. In fact, when Constantine, the emperor of Rome, became a Christian, he had a vision. And he's the one that saw a cross. And the Latin words under it, in hoc signo vinces, which means with this sign, we conquer. The sign that Jesus used was a fish. The sign that Constantine used was a cross. And naturally, connecting that to Jesus' suffering and death on the cross became the symbol of Christian conquest. But also, unfortunately, it became the symbol of white supremacy dressed in the name of Jesus Christ. So all the darker people of the world that were made into Christians suffered under white rule. The British said they were Christians, but the Indians and the Pakistanis and the Bangladeshis and the Africans suffered under their rule. The people that bought and sold us said they believed in Jesus Christ, but we were hung on trees and burned at stake and given appellation of less than a human being. So Christians, this is why Pope John Paul spoke to the indigenous people of the world and apologized for the way Christians treated the native peoples, the indigenous peoples of the world. And this America refuses to even apologize for the evil that was done to black people, to the Native Americans, etc.
So going back to the principle, you're speaking about bringing these two great faiths together. You preach in your Savior's Day sermon from the Quran and from the biblical scriptures, and yet you reject Christianity.
No, we reject that which was done in the name of Jesus Christ, not Jesus Christ, not his gospel, not what he taught. What he taught was pure righteousness. But how many of us we praise him. God knows, when I see my brothers and sisters who are artists, who use some of the foulest language, but they wear the cross. And when they get their Grammy or their this, they say, I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he didn't save you from immoral conduct. He didn't save you from calling your women out of the name of a creature created in the image and likeness of God. We are so contrary that we're not even in recognition that we are as far away from Jesus as the far planet Pluto is from the sun, 4,600,000,000 miles, I believe it is. That's how far we are away from Jesus Christ, and that's how far the Muslim world is away from Prophet Muhammad. Peace be upon both of these noble and worthy servants of God.
So what you're saying is that the leaders of these faiths preached and taught one thing, but the followers have emasculated and misappropriated that in wrong ways.
No, I would say the leaders were the misteachers. And the people could not go beyond how they were taught and trained. This is why I think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad pointed out in the scripture that there would be a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things would pass away. Religion, as we know it, has failed to cultivate the human being and make us reflections of our Creator. Islam has failed in this respect. Christianity has failed. Judaism has failed.
The Nation of Islam has failed.
All of us have a degree of failure, but the Nation of Islam is trying to restore us back to that civilized behavior that a true Christian and a true Muslim and a true Jew would exemplify. A true Buddhist would exemplify. A true Hindu would exemplify.
But here's a theological problem. Christianity and Islam would both describe themselves as exclusivist. They would say, for example, that Christ is the mediator to God, and he is truly and fully human and truly and fully divine, and he's the only way to God. Islam will say the Prophet Muhammad is the light to the path to God. Now, you're suggesting that these two things can come together. I put it to you that actually within their own theology, they don't accept the other could be right.
It's because of a lack of understanding. You know, your mother might teach you that 3 and 4 is 7. My mom might teach me that 5 and 2 is 7.
But Jesus...
And somebody will teach that 6 and 1 is 7. And when we meet, we start arguing because we don't know the root. We don't understand the principles that undergird the mathematics that we were taught. Most people in religion don't understand the progression from Abraham to Muhammad. It's really one religion. And the way you know it's one religion is not by the name, but by studying the principles that each of these great ones taught. If you look at what Jesus taught principally, look at what Muhammad taught principally, look at what Abraham, Moses, and the Israelite prophets taught, they all taught the same principles that undergirded a contemporary message that was used to correct contemporary problems. And what happened, we get lost in the contemporary and we have forgotten the eternal truths that undergird all the religions and all the teachings of the prophets.
I'll come back to that in a minute because that's an important issue, but we'll come back to it in a moment. But I want to go, if I can, we've talked about what you have wanted to say and what you did say in your Saviour's Day address. In terms of your beliefs, do you still regard white people as devils created by an evil scientist?
Well, the truth is, any human being that rebels against God and rebels against his law can be classified as a devil. If we look at the behavior of white people in their relationship to the darker people of the world, we couldn't say that they acted as angels. They acted quite the contrary. But we're in a time of enlightenment now. The darker people of the world are rising and challenging racist institutions. And now white people have a chance to change their behavior, change a historical pattern in dealing with the darker people of the world. And we who have been trained in rebellion to God have a chance to come out of that rebellion into submission. And when we submit to the will of God, it makes no difference what our color is. We are brothers and sisters in faith.
So today, in 2007, do you regard white people as devils?
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad instructed me before he left to change that language. Yes, white people have acted as devils, no question about that. But he told me, don't use that language anymore. I want you to use the language Satan, the slave master's children, and the slave master. And I asked myself later, God, I should have questioned him. Why do you want me to change the language that you instituted? It's because Satan is a maker of devils, and he makes evil fair seeming. So whether you're black or white or red or yellow, if you come under the deceitful touch of Satan, he'll make what is immoral look moral, and what is moral look immoral.
Do you regard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as God?
No.
You don't?
No. We regard him as a warner. We regard him as a guide. And I look upon him as a messianic figure.
So he was somebody who came to speak the words of God, but he isn't God himself?
No. He came to speak the words of God, but we would be foolish to worship him as though he were in fact the originator of the heavens and the earth.
Do you regard yourself then as his messenger on earth, the little Messiah?
I regard myself as his extension, an extension of his warning, an extension of his guidance, an extension of his message. But I don't go so far as to call myself a messenger of God. Nothing like that. But maybe a little Messiah, but a very teeny one.
I want again to go over. You'll remember the vision you experienced back in 1985 on top of an Aztec mountain.
Yes.
When you said that you had been beamed on board a UFO and flew into space. Do you still maintain that that's what happened to you?
Oh, absolutely. I've maintained that since 1985, which is, 21 years now. I have never deviated from that experience because that experience was as real to me as you sitting in front of me, Mr. Bashir.
Can you understand why some people hearing you talk about space travel might be tempted to think it sounds strange?
Well, of course. Those who listen to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his night journey, when he was definitely in a tent with some followers around him, but the next morning he told them he visited Jerusalem and then was taken on a swift animal of some sort, and then he went up into the heavens. He met Prophet this and Prophet that, and then finally he went into the inner sanctum and spoke with God himself. Well, there's so much controversy over his night vision. Some said, well, was it a vision or did he go in his body? But he gave proofs that he did travel. The Quran says Allah is he who takes men's souls by night. And when I was a little boy, my beautiful Christian mother at that time made me say a prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I know that physically I didn't go anywhere, but spiritually I did travel. And spiritually I heard the voice of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And spiritually, he made me to know what the president was planning with his Joint Chiefs of Staff. And I have never deviated from that. And he gave me instructions to tell the world that when I reveal what Reagan was planning, and I know what Bush was planning, and I know what Carter and Clinton were planning, because they're all in the same line from Reagan. Every one of them had some conflict with a Muslim nation, but Bush is the head of it all because he's brought the whole Islamic world now into anger against him and America and the West.
Thank you for listening to the Farrakhan Speaks podcast. The interview you've been listening to can be purchased in its entirety on CD, DVD, and tape at store.finalcall.com. And remember to log on and subscribe to the most widely circulated black newspaper in the country for all of your news and information. The Final Call at finalcall.com.